Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition tonight. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and my co-host for tonight's show will be Tim Bench from the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we are grateful that you are able to tune in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for any of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. Or you can give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just so grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for blessing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, praise you would be with my co-host, Tim Bench, as he proclaims your word on this broadcast. We pray that you'll continue to bless his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you would be with our listeners as they tune in to this show on this evening. We pray that they may listen well. We pray that they may hear something that will cause them to, that will prick their hearts and cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and all that he means to us in this life and in the life to come. We thank you for his precious sacrifice on Calvary, for we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and love us and keep us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For us in Christ's name, we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Look forward to putting on this broadcast week after week. And my co-hosts, they're doing a great job in presenting the lessons the week. So I just want to commend them for their efforts. Tonight's broadcast, we have my co-host Tim Bench, and he'll be continuing on with his series of lessons that he's been doing on the subject of hell. So this will be part three of his series of lessons. So after the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host Tim Bench. Open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. Enjoy the show.
Say yeah.
There's no better state to be in. Somewhat guilty in my happiness. There's a public spirit in me. Some wonder how can he smile?
Joy.
How he reached into the darkest black and found me.
Say yeah, there's no better state to be.
Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Now my co-host Tim Bench and his subject, Hell.
Good evening. As Stevie mentioned, my name is Tim Bench, and I'm calling in tonight from Abilene, Texas. And this is our final week. This is week three, our final week of study on the topic of hell. Wherever you may be located, we want to welcome you to tonight's special edition show and the conclusion of our study on the topic of hell. And if you have not been with us the last couple of weeks, we're going to try to summarize some points tonight that we've looked at during the previous two episodes. And some of the questions that we have looked at and addressed are a lot of the questions that modern-day churches often promote about hell. Questions such as, what is hell? Is hell eternal in duration? What is hell like? And as we've seen, there are many, many different viewpoints of hell that are in complete contradiction with what the Bible tells us. And there are many teachings and churches which promote outright heresies about hell. They will absolutely promote things that the Bible simply does not say. So I want to begin tonight with a topic that we touched on as we concluded week two, and that question is, what is hell like? What are some adjectives that we can use to describe hell and fathom hell and try to understand what hell is? Here is what we know from Scripture, and for each of these, I'm going to try to provide the appropriate Scripture where people can read for themselves what the Bible says. With this topic and with any topic that we do with the Gospel Light Radio Show, we try to rely on the Bible as our one and only guide, not on man-made doctrines, not on catechisms, not on church books or books of confessions, but simply stated, what does the Bible say? So, let's look at a few descriptions of hell. What is hell like? Well, we know that hell is a place of punishment. Matthew 23, verse 33, and Luke chapter 16, verse 23. We know that hell is a place of darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Matthew 8, 12, Matthew 22, 13, and Matthew 25, verse 30. We know that hell is a place of fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, Matthew chapter 13, verses 40 through 42, and finally Matthew chapter 13, verse 50. Here is one that is greatly debated in churches today, but this is one we're going to spend some time on tonight. Hell is eternal in duration. It does not end. It goes on into eternity just as heaven does, which is likewise described in similar terms as far as its length in the New Testament. What are the verses where we read that hell is eternal in duration? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, and Matthew chapter 25, verses 42 to 49, which we're going to be looking at in just a few moments in some detail. Hell is a place of unimaginable pain. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, and Matthew chapter 22, verse 13. Hell will be a place of no rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. The suffering and the torture and the physical pain and agony will be relentless. It will be constant. There will be no break just for a few minutes to let you catch your breath. It will be unending and it will be constant. Hell will be worse as punishment for some than for others. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And also 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. Hell will be a place of consciousness, according to Luke chapter 16, and it will also be a place of memory and regret, Luke 16, verse 28. I think this is one of the most sad and tragic descriptions and facts of hell. If a person is in hell, they will have consciousness, they will have memory, they will have regret. They will be able to look back over their lives. They will be able to see and to remember what brought them into this torturous place. They will be able to remember, fully remember, the choices they made. they will be able to fully remember the opportunities that they were given and the opportunities that they were squandered away and the reason that they are in hell in the first place. And I think this would certainly be every bit as torturous and difficult to deal with as the physical pain. One of the things that we talked about last week, and one of the doctrines which seems to be growing in prevalence even amongst churches of Christ, is that hell is not permanent. We quoted several Church of Christ preachers and leaders and a woman on Facebook who stated unequivocally that heaven is eternal, but hell is not. This was something that was being addressed 1,800 years ago by the church fathers. I want to cite tonight, as we get started, from Tertullian. This is from 197 AD. This is an early church father view on the permanency of hell. Quote, "If you have no power of suffering after death, if no feeling remains, if severance from the body is merely annihilation, why do you fear death at all? There is nothing after death to be feared if there is nothing to be felt," end quote. And I think that's such an outstanding observation. When we hear people say that there is no hell or that annihilation is simply the end result of our soul, what point is there at that point, or what defense is there at that point for sin? Why not just engage fully in sin? There's no penalty which will ever be paid. There is no punishment which will ever be assumed. We would therefore be free to live as we want and do as we want and to commit sins against others with total immunity. And this is something, again, that is being promoted by more and more churches now. Second question I want us to look at tonight, specifically, who will be in hell? Well, here's what we know, again, from Scripture. The devil and his minions, according to Matthew 25, verse 12, and 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Nations that forget or ignore God or rebel against God, Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. Those who flatly refuse to obey the gospel will be in hell. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Those who are introduced to the gospel, who know about the gospel, who know the name of Jesus Christ, and again, flatly refuse to obey the commandments that are given there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Those people will be in hell whose names do not appear in the book of life. The unprofitable servant who wasted his talent will be in hell, according to Matthew chapter 25, verse 30. Egregious sinners with egregious sins will be in hell, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And here's a tragic one that I want us all to listen carefully to and to think about. Who will be in hell? Most people that we may know or even love, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is difficult for all of us. I am certain that every person within the sound of my voice listening to this broadcast tonight has had loved ones that have passed away, that have gone, and we may have concern about their eternal salvation or lack thereof. And we're told from the Bible that narrow is the gate, straight is the way. We know from Scripture that the majority of mankind will not be in heaven. The majority of mankind will be in hell. And by definition, that means many people that we may know and many people that we may love dearly. And this is one of the most challenging aspects of Christianity. But we have to rely on God's perfect sovereign knowledge and Him being the perfect sovereign judge of who is worthy of heaven and who therefore deserves hell. We touched last week on this term, and I want to remind all of our listeners of this, the term universal reconciliation. This differs a little bit from simple annihilation. We know that there is a viewpoint that after death, those who are viewed worthy of going to heaven are taken to heaven, and those who are not simply cease to exist. In other words, God destroys them out of existence. They're not suffering. They are not in pain. They're not in agony. They just flatly do not exist anymore. This other view universal reconciliation is the belief that all people, without exception, will eventually receive salvation, ultimately through God's infinite grace, mercy, and the love of God. Now, this viewpoint does state that there is a hell, but that that hell is not permanent. Instead, hell is a form of corrective measure or discipline, if you will, to bring wayward opponents of Jesus back to him. In other words, a person may die in a state of sin. They go to hell. They suffer. They are repentant. They go through this agony and torture. And eventually this brings them back into the fold and forces them to repent and become appreciative of Jesus Christ. And eventually everyone goes to heaven. And again, we know that that is flatly not what the Bible says. And under the belief of universal reconciliation, eventually both Hades and hell will be completely emptied out and destroyed, and everyone will be in heaven. That might be a view that all of us would like to take, a utopian view of paradise where everyone ends up happy and warm and comfortable. But again, that is completely contrary to what the Bible says. In order to look at what hell is and what hell is not, I want us to look at the ultimate authority. And again, that ultimate authority is Jesus Christ, and that ultimate authority is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I want us to look at what the New Testament has to say about hell. If you have your Bibles, again, wherever you are, turn to Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 49. And I want us to read this together a bit slowly because I think there are several very important key points that are made here. Mark chapter 9, verses 42 through 49. And we're going to probably stop as we go through this and make some comments. Starting in verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I want us to stop right there just for a moment. Again, the speaker here is Jesus Christ himself. Verse 42. This should illustrate to us beyond all uncertainty the severity of hell. If it is better that we have a stone tied around our neck and we're tossed into the sea, if that would be preferable than going into hell, hell is an incomprehensibly bad place. It is a place that none of us want to go to. And verse 43 should emphasize to us there is nothing that we should be willing not to put away if it causes us to stumble. Again, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. If there is anything in our life that causes us to stumble, that causes us to sin, we need to rid ourselves of that. Regardless of what it is, it could be a job, it could be a friendship that we have, it could be a hobby that we have, an interest that we have, anything that we have that causes us to sin and to stumble is a threat to our eternal salvation, and therefore we need to sever all ties with that. The end of verse 43 and verse 44, Jesus seems to emphasize this over and over, where he says, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. How can anyone read these lines? Again, this is Jesus himself speaking. This is not me, and this is not Stevie. This is not Glenn McMillan. This is not some church scholar. This is our Savior speaking, and he makes reference there twice within two verses to this fire that shall never be quenched, this fire which will never be extinguished, meaning it is eternal. Let's continue with verse 45. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life or maimed than having two feet to be cast into hell. Here we go again. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. This seems to be a point of emphasis over and over and over, as if Jesus is trying to drive this point home. This fire, this punishment, is going to be eternal. It will be everlasting. It is not going to end. Going back to verse 47, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Again, verse 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. How can anyone who claims to be a Christian, how can anyone who claims to be a follower of Christ, turn around and reject and ignore what Christ says? How can any of us do that? By definition, if we reject what is written here, we are rejecting the very Bible that we claim to follow after in the first place. I want to share a citation. This is from Dub McClish, very well-known preacher that many of us know in Denton, Texas, from his article entitled, Did Jesus Believe in Hell? Quote, does any question remain as to whether or not Jesus declared the eternal punishment of the wicked? All of the authority of the Almighty God is present in the words he spoke about hell. Jesus had more to say about hell than any other speaker or writer in the Bible. If he was mistaken in what he said, then the Almighty, eternal, and everlasting God was mistaken. And that is not the case. Indeed, if it comes to a disagreement, let God be true and every man a liar. What more could Jesus possibly have said? There is absolutely no way the clear impact of his words can be brushed aside, and the assertion made that there is no eternal doom for the ungodly. Unless, of course, we join the critics who arbitrarily determine that Jesus really didn't say these things at all. Those who maintain Jesus did not utter these severe sayings about hell are like gamblers playing a game that they will surely lose. Jesus, the one who is coming again to judge the living and the dead, expressed himself clearly and without room for doubt about it. The rest of the New Testament writers followed his lead to the letter. Retribution for the ungodly is eternal without end, end quote. And I think there's nothing that can possibly be added there. Again, we either accept what Jesus says, we either acknowledge what Jesus says and follow what Jesus says, or we do not. And if we do not, we are not Christians in the first place. This is a citation from the East Side Church of Christ in Russellville, Alabama, from their article entitled, Is Hell Annihilationism? And that is something that we discussed in great detail last week. Quote, destroy is from the Greek word apolumai and is found 92 times in the Greek New Testament. The world of Noah's day perished with water, we are told, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6. Perish is from apolumai. Did the antediluvian world cease to exist, or was it annihilated? Well, we continue on the same earth or world, hence it was not annihilated. When the apostles were engulfed in the great tempest, they said, Lord, save us, we perish, Matthew 8:25. Did they believe they were about to be annihilated, apolumai? One of the common purposes of destroy is to suggest the spiritually lost. Jesus came to save that which was lost, or apolumai, Matthew 18:11. Apolumai suggests the opposite of saved, John 3:16. The prodigal son was lost, apolumai, Luke 15:24. Was he annihilated? The answer, obviously, is no. Allow me to quote W.E. Vine regarding the word destroy or apolumai. Verb Bayer's Entry 622, a strengthened form of alumi, signifies to destroy utterly in middle voice or to perish. The idea is not extinction, but ruin, loss, not of being, but of well-being. This is clear from its use, as of the marring of wineskins, Luke 5:37, of lost sheep, lost to the shepherd, metaphorical of spiritual destitution, Luke 15, verses 4 through 6. The lost son, Luke 15:24, of the perishing of food, John 6, verse 27, of gold, 1 Peter 1, 7, persons, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, end quote. Again, when we look at that word, obviously it does not mean extinction or ceasing to exist. And if we are going to argue that that Greek word means ceasing to exist, then we have to go back throughout the entire New Testament and apply with consistency that same definition, which obviously becomes nonsensical. From William Wallace, this is from Is There an Eternal Hell in Truth magazine back in August of 1965. Quote, some teachers will admit the place of separation called hell, but deny that there will be anything eternal in the way of torment. It is a dark picture, all right, for us to read and discuss the awful realities of that terrible place. But these same teachers do not hesitate to emphasize the beauty and blessings of heaven as being eternal. They need to be reminded that the very same word used to describe the length of the one is used to tell how long the other will be. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, we have a very good example. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The Greek reads, eis kalasin anomen, into punishment or torment, eternal or everlasting. This describes the period of punishment. With regard to saved people, the Greek reads, abdikikai es zoon alienon, but for just or righteous into life, eternal or everlasting. This describes the length of reward for the righteous. This is enough to prove to anyone willing to be guided by what is flatly written, that if the righteous are to receive eternal life, then the wicked are to receive eternal punishment or torment. Now, if this said eternal destruction rather than eternal punishment, there would be room for the argument of some to the effect that this will be a destruction of the wicked. And since that would be forever, thus not eternal punishment. But the word kalosin is used, which means punishment, torment, and of course, if the wicked shall be completely annihilated, then that element of torment will not be there. You cannot punish or torment that which is not conscious. So it depends upon whether or not we are willing to be guided by what the word teaches as to whether or not we believe in eternal torment. End quote. Again, over and over repeatedly, as we've seen, the Bible cannot be more clear. Jesus cannot be more clear. The New Testament cannot be more clear about what hell is. And what hell is an eternal, ongoing place of incomprehensible pain, suffering, and torment for the lives that we lead on this earth, for the choices that we make and do not make on this earth. Hell is a literal destination of suffering, pain, and agony. We saw last presentation, we saw some examples of people who will argue, well, hell, yes, there is a hell, but it's not really physical, it's a metaphorical description. And again, if we adopt that viewpoint, then we are adopting a viewpoint which simply is in contradiction with the Bible. It is not simply the grave, as some people suggest, and there is no biblical example which can be found of the annihilation of souls being a part of God's plan. All of us tonight, wherever you're located, again, if you're within the sound of my voice, each and every one of us are one heartbeat and one breath away from our own deaths. And that may sound scary, that may sound frightening. but it is the absolute truth. We may live for 20 more years. We may not live for 20 more minutes. And the question is for all of us, if you were to die this very night, if tonight your soul was to be required of you, would you be prepared to stand before God and give an account of your life? Have you been fervent? Have you been zealous in your Christian walk? Have you been dedicated with your life and your efforts to service to Jesus Christ? We know that God loves all of us beyond measure, John chapter 3, verse 16, to the point that he was willing to sacrifice his own son for our salvation. And again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees eternal life to those who would take up his cross and follow him, Matthew 28, verse 6, and John 11, verses 25 to 26. So again, the question for all of us, myself included, we need to each look inside our own hearts and honestly consider the most important question any person can ever ask of themselves. If I were to die today, would hell be my final destination? And that is something that only each of us individually can answer. Another citation I want us to consider is from The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis, quote, "A person's eternal destination is completely the decision of that person. A life of service and dedication to God results in heaven, while a life of disobedience results in hell. We decide our respective fates. God allows us free will to make that decision. There are only two kinds of people in the end, those that say to God, 'Thy will be done,' and those to whom God says in the end, 'Thy will be done,'" end quote. The whole purpose of man, the whole purpose of our lives here on this earth, our wealth on this earth is ultimately irrelevant. Our jobs and our earthly achievements and degrees on the wall and our careers and how much money we make are ultimately meaningless. And the things that we own, our possessions, our homes and our cars and our clothing, every item that we hold dear will ultimately be destroyed. And thus, evangelism and spreading the gospel to the lost is the most important act, bar none, that we will ever be a part of. Warning people about hell is not just something that we should be doing, it is our absolute duty to others. People's souls very literally hang in the balance about whether or not we fulfill the Great Commission. Again, that is the importance of hell and sharing what the gospel says and helping to save those who are lost. We're going to take just a few-minute break here, about 3 minutes. Again, we want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. When we come back, we will spend a few minutes in conclusion with our study of hell, week 3. So again, please stay with us, and we'll return here shortly. Thank you.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this broadcast, please contact me at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On October the 1st through the 4th, 2018, the 45th Annual Southeastern Lectureship 2018 will be hosted by the West Oak Grove Church of Christ. And that address is 3455 Highway 51 South, Hernando, Mississippi, 38632. For hotel information and registration accommodations, please contact the Ministering Evangelist Terry D. Wallace Sr. at telephone number 662-449-4191. On August the 31st through September the 3rd, 2018, the 87th Annual Homecoming and Empowerment Conference will be held at the Woodland Forest Church of Christ. And the theme for this conference will be moving from emancipation to sanctification. And that address is 1515 North Forest Street, Valdosta, Georgia, 31601. And that website is woodlandforest.com. For more information, please give them a call at 229-242-7628. and the ministering evangelist is Leroy Butler Jr. On September the 30th through October the 3rd, 2018, the 37th annual anniversary will be held at the Downtown Church of Christ, and that address is 3105 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia 23504. And that telephone number is 757-622-2230. And the guest speaker is our co-host, Courtney Carruthers, here on the Gospel Light radio show. And the service schedule will be 9:30 a.m. Bible class Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Bible class, 10:45 a.m. worship service, and at 12 noon, there'll be a fellowship meal served. And there'll be an afternoon singing concert at 2 p.m. And there'll be an evening worship at 2:45 p.m. And the nightly services will run from Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville congregations. On September the 20th through the 23rd, 2018, the Midwest Women's Conference of the Churches of Christ will be held at the address Auburn Hills Marriott Pontiac, 3600 Center Point Parkway, Pontiac, Michigan 46341. And the theme of this conference will be Becoming the Beauty of His Image from Glory to Glory. And the website for more information is Midwest Women's Conference, COC.com. On September the 13th through the 14th, 2018, the New Day Conference, there'll be a New Day Conference at the North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Contact for more information at website northboulevard.com/New Day Conference. On October the 18th through the 20th, 2018, the 2018 Midwest Lectureship be held at the Cincinnati Marriott North, and that address is 6189 Mulhauser Road, Westchester, Ohio 45069. For registration information, please visit the website at www.midwestlectureship.net. For hotel reservation and information, please dial 1-877-739-9460. On September the 16th through the 20th, 2018, there'll be a gospel meeting at the Church of Christ, and that address is 901 North Main Street, San Angelo, Texas, and the guest speaker will be Israel Rodriguez. And the theme for this meeting will be the triumphal nature of God's goodness. And the service schedule will be Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., evening service will be at 5 p.m., and the nightly service will run from Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. And their website is www.9thandmaincofc.org. And just to remind you, we are hosting three live shows here under Stevie B's Media Productions here on Blog Talk Radio. On Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord, with the host Stevie R. Butler Radio Show. And on this broadcast, each week we have guest speakers presenting lessons from the Word of God. We also have the Community Corner for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. And also my co-host will be Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York. And on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on that broadcast, I have 9 co-hosts presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, I have 2 co-hosts on air with me. And also, I'm taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, and posing these questions to my co-host. And also, every first Monday of the month, we will be doing a special edition show here on the Gospel Light radio show. On Friday, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast, will air here on Blog Talk Radio from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. In the first week, we're doing artist interviews in the Story Glory segment. We're debuting new music, featuring old music. The second week, my daughter Tati B, she's co-hosting that show. The third week, I'm doing the Top 20 Countdown show. The fourth week, we're doing the Talent Search show. I give you 60 seconds. Stand on the world stage and sing your song. First and second place prizes will be awarded and by my special guest judges. And once a quarter, we're doing the marathon show. That's a 3-hour show of whatever artist or group that we're featuring on that broadcast. And if you are an artist and you would like to have your music played on this radio show, you can send me your MP3 formatted tracks to my via Dropbox to my email address, srbutler1009@yahoo.com. Now you can listen to all my on-demand episodes through my affiliate internet stations. You can listen through Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, acaradio.net, iWave Radio, mccbroadcasting.com, IVC Broadcasting, YouTube. You can go to my YouTube channel, Stevie R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B. You can also go to the Church TV Network on YouTube and see the playlist Acapella Radio. You can also go to my website, Spreaker.com, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R.com, and type my name, Stevie R. Butler, in the search bar. And you can also go to World of Acapella. You can also call the live show at 713-955-0508 or type in your search bar, www.blogtalkradio.com/Gospel Light Radio Show. Also like to thank my sponsor, Sharon Norwood from Chicago, Illinois. Her company is Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthy living. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's media production. It is the objective of this broadcast to educate, to edify, and to encourage. And that will conclude our announcements.
I know.
I'm glad you know me.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition. Now back to my co-host, Tim Bench, and his subject, Hail.
We've got just a few minutes left this evening. These studies always go by so much quicker than I had hoped for. Again, we are talking about hell and the severity of hell, and I want to share another quote from an early church father. This was from St. Augustine, which, again, I think perfectly sums up what the purpose of our life is and also the purpose for eternity. Quote, "The whole purpose of life and time is to gain merit for life and eternity," end quote. As we mentioned, each and every one of us, without exception, is going to face death at some point, and there are no exceptions, whether it be from age, injury, disease, accident, you are absolutely certain to die at some point. And each and every one of us have to consider that eternal question, when we die, not if we die, but when we die, are we prepared to give an account of our lives? If not, hell is our eternal destination. We are to live our lives preparing for this inevitability. Our ongoing tasks should include studying and believing in the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, trusting in God's infinite love, wisdom, and power, 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, spreading the gospel, as we've talked about, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, enduring suffering and overcoming temptation, James 1, verse 12, to love both God and others, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, and to never grow weary of doing good, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. We will oftentimes hear people say, well, so-and-so, this person has their heart in the right place, as if that is enough to achieve them eternal salvation and to help them achieve avoiding hell for all eternity. And we know what the Bible says about the hearts of men, the inherent evils of the hearts of men. And I want to share a citation tonight from Arthur Pink. Quote, "There will be many in the lake of fire who commenced life with good intentions, honest resolutions and exalted ideals, those who were just in their dealings, fair in their transactions, charitable in all their ways, men who prided themselves in their integrity but who sought to justify themselves before God by their own righteousness, men who were moral, merciful, magnanimous, but who never saw themselves as guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners needing a Savior," end quote. And we know, again, from the Bible, all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. None of us, without exception, are ever going to be, quote, good enough to achieve salvation. And what we deserve, based on what we actually do, is nothing but hell. And it is only God's grace and mercy that allows us to escape that. This is a citation that I want to share in closing. This is titled, "An Alarm to the Unconverted." This is from Joseph Aline. "Strive to affect your heart with a deep sense of your present misery. Read over the previous chapter again and again. Get it out of the book and into your heart. Remember when you lie down that for all you know, you may awake in flames, and when you rise up, that by the next night you may make your bed in hell," end quote. And again, that's frightening verbiage. That's frightening language. But that emphasizes the severity of what we are talking about. That emphasizes the absolute eternal severity of what we are discussing tonight, and that is God's eternal punishment for our disobedience. Final citation I want to share, this is from J.D. Conley with the Harmer Hill Church of Christ in Marietta, Ohio. This is entitled, "The Terrifying Wrath of God." Quote, "The wrath of God is a fact that is ignored and even denied by many religious people. They'd much rather dwell on the grace, mercy, forgiveness, and the patience of God rather than upon his wrath. Yet, apart from God's wrath, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and his patience are meaningless. Do not these qualities imply wrath? From what does one need grace, mercy, and forgiveness from if God's wrath is not real? Paul informed the saints in Rome, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, 70, but toward these goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off," Romans 11:22. Clearly, Paul states that God has a dual nature. If one obeys God or continues in his goodness abounds to that person. However, if one chooses to disobey God or fall away, that individual becomes the recipient of God's severity or God's wrath, end quote. I want to thank everyone who has joined us for this three-part lesson, and as always, if anyone ever has any questions, comments, anything that any of our hosts can assist you with, please feel free to email, to call, to message our show at any point. We have numerous show hosts, Stevie Butler being the head of our group, and any of us would be more than happy to study with anyone at any time on the topic of hell or any biblical topic. In closing tonight, very quickly, let's pray together. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for all that you have given us. Thank you for your inerrant, infallible word. We thank you most of all, God, for the sacrifice which was made by your Son, Jesus Christ, a sacrifice that we do not deserve and a sacrifice that we can never repay. We pray, Father, that you would be with us and judge us with mercy when we stumble and err and fall. Please help us to be lights, shining lights for you into a darkened and apathetic world. Please be with us and allow us to promote you and to exalt you and exalt your holy name. It is in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
God.
I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'll admit it, y'all, the struggle is real, and sometimes our faith, it gets a little weak, yeah. But over the years, y'all, I've found out, love of God,
he's able.
So we don't have to worry ourselves about it, y'all, so I just keep telling myself these two words, God can. My God, he can.
Oh, God,
oh,
he can.
Tried him and I know, no, no, no. Said I know he could do it for me right now. There's a time in every life. Trouble comes, then we stop and wonder why. Why, man?
Especially when you're trying to do the right thing. Can I get a witch?
Oh, Lord, yeah. Why this tears and why this pain? Lord, my soul is weak. I need some things to change. So I'm calling on you, Lord, Lord.
Then I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my situation.
Dry your eyes. It's all right. God always supplies your needs. So I put my trust in thee, cause I know you can. Oh, oh, God, but I know you can. He's got all power in his hand. Oh, you gotta trust and believe. You gotta have faith to receive.
You gotta know you can,
Lord. And even in your darkest hour, when you can't see your way through,
see, I know you thought it was over, but
I can see the sun peeping through the clouds, but I know he can. I know he can, Lord, 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 he can.
Y'all, he can do anything.
Great, unmerited favor. Standing here by God's power. for myself.
Y'all, and I found out that
you be able to be.
So no matter what it looks like, God is big, God is greater, God is alive. Yes, he is, yeah.
Above all you can ask or think, with moves that become your heart, give your life a brand new start. You know he can. Every now and then we like to sit around the house and just reminisce about the time in our life. Hey, but we didn't know what to do. We didn't know which way to go. Didn't know which way to turn. No.
And the mountains seemed so high.
I remember. Didn't know how to get over.
Said we were deep down in the valley of despair. But let me tell you what we did.
So we went down on our knees. Said, Father, help us please.
We need to bring the power
right here this very hour. We need a living
memory
with a smile
in
our hand. I'm a living testimony that God came. That I know that he came.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition.
Yeah, we're blessed. We're the righteousness of God.
There's a sweet, sweet, sweet spirit inside of me. Listen, I am the righteousness of God. There's a seed of righteousness that's working within.
I am the righteousness of God.
Got a verse.
Sing your verse.
Oh, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed, and behold, all things are made new. For
I am.
I'm reconciled with God by the blood.